بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. رسالة الشريف، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. One of the greatest blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that he granted him something we call Jawami'ul Kalim. One of the greatest bounties Allah granted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is something that we call Jawami'ul Kalim. In Arabic we call it Jawami'ul Kalim. Remember this word, Jawami'ul Kalim. What does it mean? Jawami'ul Kalim, it means concise yet comprehensive speech. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say a few words, just a few words, but those few words would have oceans of meaning. A few words. But with those few words, you could derive so much. So one of the greatest blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that Allah gave him something we call, what was it called? Jawami'ul Kalim. And Jawami'ul Kalim means concise yet comprehensive speech. Few words, oceans of meanings. And we have many of these sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, small hadith, and books have been written, lectures have been given for hours and hours, and pages, thousands of pages have been written just on a few words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's not the end. Somebody can carry on and on because it has so much depth, so much meaning. We go on for hours and hours and still people don't understand what we're trying to say. So one of the greatest blessings Allah granted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was something called Jawami'ul Kalim, few words, oceans of meaning. Today we will take one such hadith in the time that we have. And we're going to try and understand this one hadith. 13 words only. Only 13 words. That's it. Three statements, three short statements, one hadith, three short statements, altogether it's only 13 words. But you will see how the whole of Islam has been summarized in these 13 words. Three short statements, one hadith, 13 words, and you will see the whole of Islam has been summarized in one hadith. If somebody asks you, like, just give me a brief synopsis of Islam. Or if you're sitting somewhere with friends, family, relatives, there's some kind of an event, everyone's kind of sitting and talking, and then they usher somebody, like, give a little bit of advice, say something, share something. Or you just want to make, you know, you've had a night out with everybody, and, you know, it's all been talking about this and that, and you want to add a little bit of spirituality, a little bit of Islamic flavor to the gathering. You could learn this hadith and share it, because this is so comprehensive, so meaningful. And if you and I were to just apply this one hadith in our lives, it would be more than sufficient. So here it is, just one hadith, and if you were to apply it, it's amazing. I'm going to share the hadith with you, I'm going to translate it for you, and then we're going to take each section one by one. There's only three parts to it, only 13 words, one hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and two sahaba, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala, both have narrated this hadith. You'll find it in the Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi, in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, and others have also mentioned it as well. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, number one, اتق الله حيثما كنت. Number one. The second part, وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها. And number three, وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. That's it. That's the hadith. Three statements, 13 words, the whole of Islam is summarized into this. If you and I make a concentrated effort just to practice upon this one hadith, wallahi al-azim, we will have everything. We will have everything. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. Simple translation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, اِتَّقِلَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ. And it's not difficult to memorize 13 words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اِتَّقِلَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ. Have taqwa of Allah wherever you are. Number one. This is the first part. Okay, I know you might not be able to grasp the Arabic, but at least grasp the English. Number one, ittaqillaha haythuma kunta. Have taqwa of Allah wherever you are. That's the first part. The second part is وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَ تَمْحُهَا. Follow an evil deed with a good deed and it will erase it. If you end up doing a mistake, a sin, when human beings, it's going to happen, right? So if you end up doing an evil deed, follow an evil deed with a good deed, the good deed will wipe away the evil deed. So that's the second part. And the third part, وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِثُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. Treat people with good manners. That's it. That's the hadith. The first part, you know, in the world we have three connections. One is my relationship with Allah, one is my relationship with myself, and one is my relationship with the rest of the people. This hadith contains all three. اِتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ. Fear Allah, have taqwa of Allah, wherever you are, that's my relationship with Allah. And وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. Follow an evil deed with a good deed, it will erase it. That's my relationship with myself. And وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. Treat people with good manners. That's my relationship with the rest of the world. Remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, خَالِقِ النَّاسَ. Treat people, he didn't say Muslims. He said خَالِقِ النَّاسَ. Treat all humans with good manners. So this is a beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's take each part at a time to discuss and understand it better. So first of all, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, and like I said, the whole of Islam has been summarized in these 13 words, in this one hadith, in these three statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is what we call jawami'ul kalim, concise yet comprehensive speech. Few words. Just a few words, 13 words. But ocean, the whole of Islam we can see in there. The first part, اِتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ. Have taqwa of Allah wherever you are. Number one, this is the first lesson for today. Have taqwa of Allah wherever you are. Look very specifically, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, have taqwa of Allah wherever you are. He didn't say, have taqwa of Allah when you're in the masjid. Have taqwa of Allah when people are around. Have taqwa of Allah when it's Ramadan or when you're in Mecca. No, he says, have taqwa of Allah, haythuma, wherever you are. Now taqwa, sometimes is translated as fear of Allah. Sometimes it's translated as consciousness of Allah. Sometimes it's being aware of Allah. In reality, there is no English equivalent to the word taqwa. To explain taqwa, we have to give a little explanation. We can't just say taqwa means this. So all of these things mean taqwa. Taqwa also, I'll give you an example. We've just had Ramadan, may Allah accept our Ramadan. In Ramadan, I'll give you an example of taqwa in your life that you've experienced. Many people think taqwa is something distant. It's for the old people. It's for the pious people. It's for people who, you know, have a different lifestyle from me. It's for the people of the past. No, taqwa is a requirement for every human being, regardless of who we are. We can't distance ourselves from taqwa because taqwa is an obligation. Allah orders us to have taqwa wherever we are all the time. So what is taqwa? In Ramadan, you display taqwa. How did you display taqwa? There were days, this Ramadan gone, where it was a long day, it was really hot. Either you were working, or you'd just come back from a game of football. Or for example, you've been helping around in the house, doing some gardening, or doing some other housework. Or you'd just been up and down the stairs doing some chores, or whatever you were doing, it was a hot day. And you were really hot. And you were flustered. And there was no one else at home. When you got home, you opened the fridge and you saw a nice, cool, chilled juice, or a drink, or even a bottle of water. And the thought may have come to your mind to drink that water. Not that you were going to drink it, but it just passed your mind that how nice it would be at this time. Okay, when you've got nothing in your body, and you're hot, unbothered, and to have a nice, cool glass of water. Did you have it? No. Why didn't you have it? Nobody was watching. There was nobody home. No mom, no dad, no brother, no sister, no friends, no relatives, no cameras, nobody at all. But you didn't drink it. Why? Because you are conscious of the fact that nobody is watching, but Allah is watching. That's taqwa. That's taqwa, simple. That's very simple explanation of what you had taqwa this Ramadan gone. You displayed taqwa. You were a person of taqwa. You didn't eat or drink even in the absence of people when nobody was watching you, only because you have the realization and the awareness that Allah is watching. That's it. That is the only driving factor inside you to abstain from food and drink during the month of Ramadan. Similarly, if I was to come to you, may Allah protect, this is just an example, and offer you alcohol, for example. I'm giving you £1,000, £2,000, £5,000, just one sip, drink one sip of alcohol. I won't tell anybody, nobody will know. I know some people might end up doing it, but most of us, inshallah, okay, you won't do it. Why? People do anything for money nowadays. But why wouldn't you do it? Nobody would find out. Nobody would know. You can pocket that money and do what you want with it. But you wouldn't do it. Why? Why? Again, because of taqwa. It's that taqwa. One sahabi was asked, can you define what taqwa means? What does it mean? He said, yeah, easy. It's very simple. Have we ever walked down a thorny path? He goes, yeah. Because when you walk down that thorny path, how do you walk? He goes, well, I'm very careful where I take the next step, because that's what taqwa is. That's exactly what taqwa is. That being mindful and careful where you take your next step, how you conduct yourself, that is taqwa. Now, we understand, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, ittaqillaha haythuma kunt. Have taqwa of Allah wherever you are. So what is having taqwa of Allah? In the hadith we find the Quran also mentions, wattaqun nar. Have taqwa from the fire of hell, meaning protect yourself from it. Protect yourself from the fire of hell. Do whatever you can to have taqwa of Allah, have taqwa of the fire of hell. Now, we understand the concept of taqwa when we're in the masjid. Okay, nice beard, nice jubbah, okay. Friday, everyone's here praying, okay, making dhikr, having the tasbih. So in public, we're really good at this. But remember, the hadith says, having taqwa wherever you are, regardless. So in public, it's easy for us to display taqwa. Very easy, it's very simple. People are watching and it's kind of very normal. But when we're alone, when the curtains are shut, when it's dark, when there's no one there, nobody. To display taqwa at that time, ittaqillaha haythuma kunt. You've got your phone, nobody's there. Shaitan's giving you these whispers. Click. Go for it. Nobody's going to find out. Nobody will check your history. Go, go, go for it. Watch this. Look at this. Spend time on this. At that time, that is when taqwa really shines. That is the time to really display our taqwa. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying. That have taqwa of Allah wherever you are. Whether you're in public, whether it's private. And some people are the other way, so some of us really struggle. When we're alone, we really, really, really struggle with this. And that's what all this is about. To try and cultivate and develop within us that consciousness of Allah. Imagine, right? Sometimes you're in a lift. Elevator, you're in a lift, right? And you're just standing there. And you're just being yourself, doing silly things that you do, that people sing in the shower and stuff like that kind of stuff. Anyway, so you're being yourself, and all of a sudden you notice there's a camera in the corner. What happens? You kind of just sort yourself out. You just become a little bit more conscious. Just because you saw that camera. Maybe nobody's monitoring that camera. Who knows? Who knows? But just the idea of feeling somebody is watching me potentially, it sorts you out. You just become much more conscious. Imagine you are under surveillance 24/7. There was a team of 4 or 5 people that were constantly monitoring every move of yours, and I was under surveillance. There was a camera attached to me, and everywhere I went, whatever I did, whatever I said, everything was being recorded, and there's this room of people, and they're sitting there, they're watching, they're studying, they're just monitoring every single move of mine. Do you know what? There'll be times when these guys fall asleep. There'll be times when they'll get bored and they're not interested in my boring life anymore. There'll be times when there'll be technical glitches and I'll be able to kind of maneuver myself in a way where I can possibly hack the system or get away from their sight. But we are under surveillance, Allah's surveillance 24/7. 24/7 under the surveillance of Allah. And that camera of Allah never stops recording. It doesn't miss 1 second. It doesn't miss one event, one word, one blink. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah says, do you know when you secretly look at things with your eyes, when you think nobody's seen what you've seen? Allah says, I know that. Allah says, I know that. Just sometimes when you plan things in your mind, in your heart, your wife is next to you, even she doesn't know. The closest is the most intimate person, but it's going through. Allah says, I know what's going on in there. I know what you're thinking. So this is what we're being told. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ. Have the taqwa of Allah wherever you are. Whether you're in public, whether in private. One verse of the Quran, if we were to just bring, because one of Allah's names is Ar-Raqib. Ar-Raqib, the one who's always watching. Okay, the one who's, you're always under his surveillance. You know, as soon as you see surveillance, properties under, a person just acts differently. We are constantly under the surveillance of Allah. Allah watches everything. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ. Have taqwa of Allah wherever you are. Wherever you are. So some people really struggle when they're alone, in private, in the dark. Nobody's there, the door is locked, the curtains are shut. We get up to no good. May Allah protect us and help us to overcome this. But then some people are the other way around. So they're really good overall. With their when they're privately in their own thing, they express their Islam, they pray at home, they fast. But when they go into public, they don't want to be known as Muslim. They'll abbreviate the name, they'll act very different. They will hide any aspect of Islam, they will not want to give off, and try and assimilate to such an extent that people consider you not being of any particular faith. That's wrong as well. You should be proud of your Islam, wherever you are. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ. The hadith, wherever you go, wherever, have taqwa of Allah, be conscious, be mindful of Allah, whatever you're doing. And a lot of times what happens when we're in our own locality, in our own communities, we're fine. We've gone away, we've gone abroad, gone to another town, thinking, oh, nobody knows me here, I can do what I want. I can drop my guard. I can drop my guard. Because the people here don't really know me, so it's okay. The hadith is saying, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ. Have the taqwa of Allah wherever you are. Private, public. Whether it's people you know, people you don't know. Why? Because we're not doing it for the people. People don't matter. This is what we need to remove people from our lives. When I say people from our lives, I mean just don't get rid of everybody. What I mean is being conscious of people. Let's take that out of our lives. Because everybody, Allah, only Allah is Al-Hayy. Meaning the true living being. All of us, we are living, but our life depends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our life is going to end. But Allah is going to be, Allah is the ever living. He will never die, never finish, never perish. If we do things because of people, well, what's going to happen is people are going to end, and their praises and whatever else that we want, that's going to end as well. But if we do it for the sake of Allah, that deed will become everlasting. So the first part of this hadith, اِتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ. Wherever you are, doesn't matter where we are, have taqwa of Allah, number one. Remember we said one of the greatest blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that Allah made him jawami'ul kalim, concise yet comprehensive speech. This one hadith, consisting of only 13 words, summarizes the whole of Islam. If you and I were to just take this one hadith, we will see how Allah will make us shine. So number one, first part of the hadith is اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ. Have taqwa of Allah wherever you are. Now, in being mindful of Allah, having taqwa of Allah, it's going to happen. We're human beings. Allah did not create us as angels. We're human beings. We will slip up. We will make mistakes. We will mess up. We will fall into trouble. We will commit sins. That's only natural. That's human. As humans, we are prone to err. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, every human commits a sin. Every person makes a mistake. However, it's what you do after making the mistake. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then says, the second advice is, وَأَتْبِئِ السَّيِّئَ الْحَسَنَ طَرْحُهَا. If ever you end up making a mistake, you commit a sin, don't let that paralyze you thinking, I'm a loser, I'm a goner, I'm going to be destroyed. There's no point of me praying or doing anything like that now. Shaitan will make you feel like that. The hadith is saying that's fine. People make mistakes. People of taqwa also make mistakes as well, as the Quran tells us. People of taqwa also make mistakes. That's what the hadith is telling us. That having taqwa at all times doesn't mean you'll never make a mistake. And because of this, a lot of times we don't aim to have taqwa, because we think if you have taqwa, then you have to 24/7 be like an angel. No, we're not angels, we're human beings. We will make mistakes. Not intentionally, it'll happen. Shaitan will whisper, our nafs will push us towards it. The mistake will happen. What do we do after the mistake? The hadith gives us the guidance. وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. Whenever you do end up committing a sin, always follow it up with a good deed. Oh Allah, I messed up. Oh Allah, I slipped up. Oh Allah, I tried, but I was trying to have taqwa, but you know, my nafs just overtook me. I ended up looking. I ended up hearing. I ended up eating it. I ended up doing it. I ended up going to that place where I wasn't supposed to. What do I do now? Very simple, very easy. Do any good deed. وَأَتْبِئِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. The good deed will wipe away the evil deed. That's what the hadith is saying. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Quran says, good deeds will wipe away and expiate the sins. ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَ لِلذَّاكِرِينَ. So this is something amazing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. That it's fine. Mistakes will happen. The Quran tells us. Allah is speaking about the people of taqwa. And then he goes on to say that sometimes what will happen, the people of taqwa also make mistakes as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking about the people of taqwa, are those who spend in all conditions. And the people of taqwa are those who do this and who do this. And then Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, talking about the people of taqwa, they do this, they do this, they do this. And then he says, whenever they do end up committing an act of indecency, of haram, they fall into a sin. There were instances where people in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after alcohol being prohibited, they ended up drinking alcohol and they came to the Messenger, what shall I do? I fell into a sin, what shall I do? So this is possible, it can happen. That a person who's trying to be a person of taqwa ends up committing a sin, because you're a human being. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, the Quran tells us, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Those who commit an act of indecency, of haram, of sin, what do they do? ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ. They remember Allah. They go back to taqwa. They go back to taqwa. I want to become a person of taqwa again, no problem. The door is always open. All you have to do some good deeds. Remember Allah, do istighfar, make tawbah. Carry on doing some good deeds, give some money in charity, pray 2 rakat salah, help somebody out, do a good deed. You know what will happen? Allah will forgive you. And then Allah, وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Allah said, who else besides Allah is going to forgive your sins? Of course, that's Allah's duty. Allah is the forgiver. وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا. Yes, the Quran does say that these people, one thing they do is they're not persistent on committing this sin. They've not made it into a habit. It happened because they were human. It happened. They fell into sin not because they made it a habit or they're just doing it all the time, every day or every week. No, it happened. They fell into the sin. No problem. Turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah will wipe it away. So this was the second advice given by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now what happens is, number one, the first advice was, be have taqwa of Allah wherever you are. Number two was, what's the second one? Follow an evil deed with a good deed, it will wipe it away. Now what's happened is you're making a conscious effort. Number one is to have taqwa at all times. Number two, of course we're human beings, so we're going to do lots of sins. Because we're doing lots of sins, we're going to follow it up with lots of good deeds. When you're doing good deeds, you want to score them good deeds. You want to store those good deeds. There's no point doing good deeds and then them being blown away. We want to look after and safeguard those good deeds. We want to turn up on the day of judgment with a whole pile of good deeds. And in order to do that is the third advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. Treat people with good manners. Unfortunately, many of us Muslims, what we've done, we've restricted our Islam to fasting, praying salah, giving zakat and hajj. That's it. When we look at our manners, the way we speak, the way we interact with our own family members, with our own parents, with our neighbors, with the people that we work with, it's despicable. You wouldn't be able to. There's no Islam in it. We think Islam is just praying. Islam is not praying. That Islam, actually that kind of Islam, these are very heavy words I'm saying, can become worthless in the sight of Allah if it's continued. If a person prays all night, gives charity, but causes inconvenience to their neighbors, to their parents, to their children, to their spouse, to the people around them in the community, they don't show good manners. Somebody came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you might say, well, that's quite a bit of a heavy thing you're saying. I'll back it up with the hadith. Somebody came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, oh Prophet of Allah, we know about a woman. She prays all night. So this is not the fard prayer, the optional prayer, tahajjud. She prays all night and she gives a lot of charity. Anyone who's poor, she's always giving charity. Wow, commendable, mashallah, amazing. One problem, oh Prophet of Allah, what is it? She gives trouble to her neighbor without any hesitation, without pausing for a moment. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La khayra fiha, hiya min ahlin nar. There is no good in that woman. She's from the people of Jahannam. La khayra fiha, hiya min ahlin nar. Within moments. What about all that salah? All that charity? All that fasting? Where's it gone? Without good character and good manners, there is no weight of our good deeds. But it goes the other way around as well. Many people think that it's fine. It's all about what's in the heart. You have to be kind and nice to each other. No, both go hand in hand. You need to fulfill the obligations of Allah, having taqwa of Allah wherever we are. So our obligations to Allah, coupled with good manners to other people as well. Somebody asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who will be the closest to you on the day of judgment? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one with good manners. O Prophet of Allah, what will be the heaviest thing on the scales of the day of judgment? We believe there's going to be a physical scale on the day of judgment where our good and bad deeds will be weighed. What is going to be the heaviest thing in the scales on the day of judgment? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, good manners. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the people with good manners, the people with good manners and good akhlaq, they will reach or surpass the level of those who spend the whole night in prayer and the whole day in fasting. And when it comes to good manners, we have to remember who is deserving of our kindness the most. The one who is closest to you in relation, they deserve the best manners. Who are they? None other than our parents. Slamming the doors, shouting at them, scolding them, swearing at them. This has to stop. This has to stop. If you want your salah to be accepted on the day of judgment, if you want your fasting to be accepted on the day of judgment, if you want all of your ibadah to be beloved to Allah, then we must protect our good deeds. Otherwise, we know the hadith of the bankrupt person. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who do you consider a bankrupt person? And the sahaba said, somebody who doesn't have any money. No, that's not a bankrupt. The true bankrupt person is the one who on the day of judgment will come with many good deeds, mountains worth of good deeds. But then there'll be a line of people. He swore at me, he hurt me, she said this to me, he backbited me. And all of the good deeds will go until there'll be no good deeds remaining. But the line of people are still there. People who you and I have hurt in this world, we cause inconvenience to. So those who are closest to us deserve our greatest love, our greatest good characteristics and our morals. We must display them to those who are closest to us the most. And that, of course, the parents come first and then everybody else as well. So after the obligation to Allah, they are the ones who deserve our greatest manners. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. Just going to repeat the hadith once more at the end. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, in this concise yet comprehensive hadith, which falls under the category of Jawami'ul Kalim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, number one, ittaqillaha haythuma kunta. Have taqwa of Allah wherever you are. Number two, wa atbi'i sayyi'a al-hasana tamhuha. Follow up an evil deed with a good deed, the good deed will wipe away the evil deed. And number three, wa khaliqin nasa bi khuluqin hasan. Treat people with good manners. Just learn how to be more polite, how to be more kind, how to think good of other people, how to hide the faults of others. If I show kindness, Allah will show kindness to me. If I speak politely, Allah will speak politely to me on the day of judgment. If I hide the faults of others, Allah will hide my faults. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.